Blog Talk Radio.
God's Rainbow Ministry presents Purpose Gospel Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Pastor Cannon. I'd like to thank Ashley and Gavin Moorhead, They're in the chat room at this particular time. So if you want to get involved with the chat, just click on my link, okay, to this program, and you can get right into the chat. Amen. All righty. Well, okay, let's open up with a prayer here. Amen. Lord God, we thank you that you have redeemed us and that we may feel united with your Holy Ones, those in heaven and those on earth who are gathered around Jesus Christ, and people growing in number and strength from year to year. Thank you that we too belong to them, and we ask you to keep our hearts aware of this unity so that we may be joyful, redeemed people who find ever greater deliverance and full of praise and thanks, full of certainty and joy. So grant this to us, for we are your people, born out of your power as Savior, and gathered for the sake of your kingdom. Guard your gifts and your powers within us. Continue your redemption of the whole world until joy floods through our whole being, and we can praise you for the life you have already given us here on earth. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Alrighty. Well, let's get into playing some Christmas music. Get us in the mood and in the spirit. Amen. We're going to start this off with Christmas Lights by Coldplay.
We never thought there'd be an end. And I remember looking at you, and I remember thinking that Christmas must have been made. Because, darling, this is the time of year that you really need love. And it means so very, very much.
It'll be lonely.
So it'll be lonely.
Those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends
Assalamu alaikum, Kenny. How's your asshole?
It's fine. It's fine, Hassan.
Are there any infidels in there?
No. No infidels.
So your ass is cleaned for the first time?
No, it's, they found 5 polyps, okay, and they had to remove them, okay, and, this is my 3rd colonoscopy because I've had polyps in the past, so that's why I gotta get a colonoscopy.
So they killed these polyps, right?
Yes, they cut them out.
Did you name them with Jewish names first?
No, didn't name them.
You should. Kenny, don't you want to go to Jenna? Heaven?
Well, of course I want to go to heaven.
So you say these are infidels, Jews, Christians, non-believers, before you kill them.
Ah.
You know, these polyps were living things, Kenny. Polyps were living things.
Well, I don't know about living things. Okay.
They were cells.
Yeah.
How do you know
cells.
The Jews didn't put those polyps in your ass?
Because I know they didn't do that.
Kenny, this is how it works. You need credit. Don't you want 72
yeah.
virgins?
Oh, yeah.
Kenny, you must kill the non-believers, whether they are polyps.
No, you don't kill anybody.
Gay people,
you know.
Jews, religious Christians.
No, we
the
don't.
The Quran
don't
says
kill
this.
No, I don't kill anybody.
And it says,
okay,
it says to smite them with a sword, Kenny. A sword is like a scalpel.
Yeah, I understand that.
All right, before you kill again, we must name them first.
Okay, well, I don't kill anybody. Okay, so...
polyps?
Well, they're just cells. Cancer cells.
They were cells are living things, Kenny. You are a killer. Admit it.
No, I'm not a killer. The doctor did. I didn't have anything to do with it.
Did you tell the doctor not to kill them?
No, I didn't know I was going to have any problems.
Then, Kenny, this is manslaughter. Death is death.
Okay,
I'm not saying it's good or bad, but it is what it is. You took a life.
Well, it's better to get rid of them instead of being in me.
Exactly. I've been telling you this about Jews for a long time, Kenny.
Okay. Well, anyway, sit back and listen to the message tonight. Okay, I'm going to deliver
right.
it now. Amen?
Where is that black mammy of yours?
I don't know. She was supposed to be on tonight, but she didn't show up.
Just like those people, Kenny, huh?
I don't know.
You know, the trains in Africa don't run on time.
Okay.
We're talking CPT time.
All right.
Why don't you give her a Timex for Christmas?
That's a thought.
All right. You don't want her to be late again, do you?
No.
All right. I will listen to whatever you're saying, even though you're reading it and you don't believe it yourself.
Okay. Yes, I do. Okay. God bless you. Sit back and listen. Amen. All righty. Let's get into today's message, okay? It's titled Building on the Basics. And it's taken from Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 3. So open your Bibles to Hebrews 6. Do you remember when you were a kid, your mom or dad would lean you against a closet wall or door frame and mark your height? Remember that? Remember how exciting it was to see how much you'd grown from the last time they measured you? Remember the disappointment you felt when there was little to no progress? The fact is, growth is exciting. Stagnancy is not. So let me ask you, if we were able to lean you up against God's doorframe and measure your spiritual growth over the last year or two, what would the result be? Would there be excitement because of growth, or would there be disappointment because of stagnancy? I heard about a little boy who fell out of bed in the middle of the night. When his mother rushed to his room to ask him what happened, he said, "I don't know. I guess I stayed too close to where I got in." That's the problem many of us Christians, isn't it? We stay too close to where we got in. We haven't progressed or moved forward much in our relationship with God. I think one hindrance for many Christians from true observable spiritual growth is the thought that growing up is just showing up. They think that a person comes to church on a Sunday, maybe attends a Bible study group or serves in some capacity, that makes it for a mature Christian. While I don't intend to be mean or point fingers, but some of the most immature Christians I've ever pastored never missed a Sunday service or a Bible study or a business meeting. Some of the most immature Christians I know have held important positions in the church. The fact is, those things don't automatically produce spiritual growth or indicate that a person is mature in their faith. Growing up isn't just showing up. Spiritual growth isn't accidental. It's intentional. It takes some effort, and it requires some work. Another mistake some Christians make is thinking longevity equals maturity. The fact is, gray hair doesn't equal godliness. Some believers are relatively young in the faith, but they are surprisingly mature. Other saints have been in the faith for years, and yet they are shockingly immature. The sad truth is there are millions of us Christians who are growing older or not growing up. But consistent spiritual growth is exactly what the Bible repeatedly tells us that God wants and expects of those who belong to Him. So let's look at a few verses. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. We are to grow up in every way unto Him who is ahead into Christ. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by you may grow up into salvation. And 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15, think about all this. Work at it so everyone may see you are growing as a Christian. So why is spiritual growth so important? Because spiritual immaturity has devastating effects on people, churches, families, and even nations. I think that's been revealed by the pandemic. Churches have struggled to move forward because many Christians have failed to grow. So spiritual maturity, the theme of our message today, is the writer of Hebrews. He's giving another warning to the Jewish Christians who were facing real challenges and heavy persecution for their faith in Christ. So don't drift from the Word of God. Don't doubt the Word of God. And don't be dull in your hearing of the Word of God. The writer says one of the main reasons they were faltering in their faith was due to a lack of spiritual growth and maturity, because they were dull of hearing. As a result, they remained baby Christians when they should have been grown up by this time. Look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11-14. The writer gives two major symptoms that reveal spiritual immaturity in a follower of Jesus. The first thing is being. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. Delayed in development is a sign of spiritual immaturity. He's saying for the amount of time you've been Christians, your spiritual growth and development should be farther along. But it's not. So if you take a baby to a pediatrician for a checkup, how can they tell if the baby is progressing normally or not? There are some standards or some norms by which they evaluate that baby. Their weight, their length, and other vital signs they look at. Every baby is different, but there are some norms that have been established. So if you have a 5-year-old who weighs 15 pounds, there is something desperately wrong. There's nothing wrong with infancy as an infant. Babies are the blessing of the beginning. But if they stay that way for decades, they go from a miracle to a monster pretty quick, right? So if someone calls you a big baby, they don't mean that's a compliment, do they? They're saying you're acting or being immature. That's what the writer is saying to the Hebrew Christians. He's saying you've been saved for 20 years, you've been in this church for 20 years, and yet you haven't grown much from where you started. You still need someone to teach you the elementary truths of the Bible. See those two words, the elementary truths of God's Word. These are the ABCs of the Bible. He's saying you've been saved for a couple of decades, yet you're still learning the ABCs of Christianity. You should be much, much further along right now. So Paul addressed the same issues with the church in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ." Worldly Christians, rather than being controlled by the Spirit of God, you are still controlled and led by your feelings and desires. So if you are a parent, you know that babies are demanding. They are not patient or considerate. They really don't care about your feelings or schedule. When they are hungry, they want to eat now. When they are tired, they get fussy and grumpy. So when they are bored in the middle of the night and want attention, they often scream bloody murder until you give them what they desire. Babies are led by their feelings and desires. They primarily think about themselves. We tolerate that from babies because we know they can't really help it. But we expect them and teach them to grow out of that as they mature. But if your teenager is still acting like a baby, it's a problem for everyone. Unfortunately, many churches have been devastated because 60-year-olds act like 2-year-olds. If they don't get their way, they throw a tantrum. Like a baby, they think everything revolves around them. What they want, what they like, what they desire, and what they feel. Delayed spirituality, maturity isn't just sad, it's sinful. And it's not just dumb, it's dangerous. Big baby Christians are willing to inflict any degree of pain on the body of Christ. if it means getting what they want. Spiritual infants are like bombs, always ready to explode, not caring much about who they might hurt. That's why spiritual growth is commanded and not suggested by God. Someone suggested that it would be interesting if one Sunday a year, everyone in church could dress according to their spiritual maturity. That is, according to their spiritual age, not their chronological age. You probably see some of our five-year-olds dressed in suits carrying briefcases. You might see a 70-year-old wearing baby bonnets and sucking on pacifiers. What's the problem? Underdevelopment. With the amount of time they've been saved, they should be spiritual adults, but they aren't. A second major symptom of spiritual immaturity, according to the writer of Hebrews, is being undernourished. If you need milk, not solid food, anyone who loses milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature. There's nothing wrong with milk. Milk is great for a baby. They are not ready for solid food. But there comes a time when a baby must move away from the milk to meat, or else major problems will develop. They need more, or they will be undernourished. I'll never forget the time I was sitting in a park watching my kids play on the playground equipment. There was some other parent sitting there watching their kids as well. Suddenly, a little boy, about 5 years old, comes running up to his mom and says, "Mom, I'm thirsty." I kid you not, that mom immediately lifted up her shirt right then and there, and he began to nurse. Obviously, that was a bit shocking and embarrassing. I did not or want to see that. I'm not overly qualified to say much about how good or bad that was for the child, but it seems to me if you're old enough to ride a bike, you're too old to nurse. I don't know the exact age, but at some point, you grow past the point of mama's milk. I would think most of you moms have nursed would say the same. If you can chew a steak, you have no business still nursing. Spiritual health and growth come from ingesting and digesting solid food. So when an adult goes in the hospital and must be put on a lipid diet because they can't ingest or digest solid food, there is a problem, right? They're sick and need to get well. The inability to ingest or digest many of the spiritual things of God's Word expected of spiritual babies. It's wonderful for spiritual babies to be fed and delight in spiritual milk, but if they stay on milk and never move to meat, it creates a greater problem of malnourishment and underdevelopment. Here's an appropriate question. What is the spiritual milk that every Christian baby should get initially, and then eventually move on to more meaty things of God's Word? Well, I'm glad you asked, because the writer gives us a short list in Hebrews chapter 6, 1 through 3. There are the basics of the Christian faith that form the foundation that we build and grow upon. Before you can move on to maturity, you must have the elementary teachings nailed down. Why does the Hebrew gives us six elementary doctrines that are grouped in couplets? So we have three categories. The first has to do with our relationship with God. The second has to do with our responsibility of the church. And the third has to do with our readiness for the future. This is an exhaustive list of all the basic doctrines every Christian should know well. But it's a good start. So let's talk about these three fundamental truths that every Christian should know and practice. The first has to do with our relationship with God, repentance of sin, and faith in God. So therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teaching about Christ and we take it forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from actions that lead to death and faith in God. This is how we enter our right relationship with God and become children of God. This is how we stay in our right relationship with God as his children. It is through repentance of sin and facing God. He's been telling us over and over that Jesus is God and is the one who voluntarily gave his life as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. So faith in God is faith in Christ. Faith in Christ is faith in God. So what is repentance? The Greek word is metanoia. It means to turn and go the opposite direction. Or as the military will put it, it is an about face. Spiritually speaking means to change in the way we think and change our attitudes. We are walking away from God, God's will. Okay, now we turn and walk in God's will. I was once stubborn and resistant. Now I'm teachable and open. I was once proud and arrogant. Now I'm submissive and humble. I've been cynical and doubting. Now I've become expectant and hopeful. It doesn't mean that we will never sin. It's just that we won't stay in it. We'll be convicted by it and turn away from it. It's like the woman who was buying a shirt in a department store, and she noticed it had a little tag attached that said, shrink resistant. And she asked the sales clerk, what does that mean, shrink resistant? The clerk said, oh, well, it will shrink, but it doesn't want to. True repentance has three elements to it: confession, contrition, and change. Confession, I recognize and humbly admit that I didn't do what was wrong and it hurt the heart of God. Contrition means to feel sorry or feel remorse. When people repent, there is often a sense of brokenness that is usually accompanied by tears. And then lastly, change. It's not enough to cry or be sorry. True repentance is always accompanied by change. So 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation, and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. While repentance may be seen as a negative part, faith in God is a positive. You trust that God in Christ does hear you and forgive you. You trust God to enable you to change and move forward out of that sin and live in His will. You're not repenting by promising to do better and try harder. You're repenting by depending on and trusting in His power and grace that enables you to live according to His good pleasure. Repentance and faith aren't two separate acts. They are one simultaneously act. Hebrews chapter 11 is the faith chapter of the Bible. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. I hope you got this message and you follow it. Amen? All right. If you're out there and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you have a chance to do so right now. Simply say this prayer after me. Say, dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to you that I'm a sinner, and I'm sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived. I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that your holy begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed His precious blood on the cross of Calvary and died for my sins. And I'm now willing to turn from my sins. He said in your holy word in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if we confess the Lord our God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. So right now I confess Jesus as Lord of my soul. With my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior, and according to His word, right now I am saved. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sins. I thank you, Jesus, that your grace never leads to license, but rather it always leads to repentance. So therefore, Lord Jesus, please transform my life so that I may bring glory and honor to you alone and not to myself. So once again, I thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you said that prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministry would like to welcome you to the family of God. We'd like to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. And we also would like you to call into area code 657-383-1487. Once again, that number is area code 657-383-1487. Press the one key, and I will bring you on so you can tell the world you accepted Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior tonight. Amen. Well, I'm going to give a shout-out to Juan from Alabama and his kinfolk because I know they're listening. I want to say God bless you. Okay, and keep coming back. Amen. One, you're on the air. Hello? 1-1-1, you're on the air. Okay, goodbye. 1-1-1, you're on the air.
Yeah, is this Ken Faceman?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, well, you know, you were spotted a day or two ago kicking a cat down the Ardash Lane. This
no,
is a
really...
kid from the SPCA. Yes, it is. It is. It was reported by Dan Garza. He says he has a proof on this, and he has a picture of you on his phone doing this.
No, he didn't do it.
Have you abused cats before, or just pussies in general?
Matter of fact, I own a cat. I don't abuse cats.
Okay, I didn't say it was your cat. I said you were accused of abusing a cat.
Well, I didn't abuse
I didn't say it was
cat.
Your cat, did I?
No.
Have you ever abused a cat?
No.
Have you ever kicked a pussy?
No.
Well, if, like, maybe your boyfriend was overreacting, you ever kick him?
No.
Well, what are we going to do when we have this video or picture of you doing such things?
Well, it's not me doing it. It's imposed.
You've never kicked a cat or a dog?
Nope.
Well, you like pussy?
Yes, I like pussy. And I like dogs.
All right. Well, unless Mr. Garza calls in, which I hope he does, he can maybe help clarify such things.
Maybe. Okay. And I'll clarify
again. Well, you're temporarily off the hook.
Okay, thank you.
All right. I'll call back in if I got that picture sent to me, and I'll send it to you.
All right. God bless you. All right. Well, we got callers, but they're not pressing the one key, so I can't bring them all. Oh, wait a minute. Here we go. 111. Okay, let's try another one. 111, you're one, you're on. All right, 111. You're on there. Uh-huh. All right. Okay, let's play some more great Christmas music. Amen.
I'll have a blue
Thank you. nights are getting short and I'm not talking out. Fills the air in Christmas cheer or two. Make a million Christmas trees so light. The joy this time will bring to you.
Say good night, everybody. God bless you. And see you tomorrow night. Amen. Amen. All right. Okay. Hope you call in tomorrow night and really have a good show. Amen. All right. Well, good night, everybody. Oh, wait, we got a couple callers. Okay, we're only at three now. Okay, let's check.
Goodbye.
That's it for the callers. God bless everybody. Love you. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.